Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another exciting, I was going to say adventure. It is an adventure. Ooh. Another exciting adventure with Steve and Pastor Gary on the Pulling on Heaven podcast. Pastor, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Awesome. Great to have you with us again.
It's always so fun to get to be with you. Instead of talking about something, I figured we'd just talk about nothing.
That's one of my favorite topics, actually. Nothing.
And I got to say, it's actually one of my favorite topics. Yeah. And I think that what you've been teaching on, we're a little bit further away. I don't know exactly when this is going to air, but back what you've been teaching on, who knows what you'll be teaching on then. But it's still such a ground, it's such a ground-shaking concept of the idea of nothingness and why God, and that God creates nothingness. Yeah. And I think beyond, I think there's, as most things that God reveals to you, I think there's many ways that you can look at it. We're about to get into it. But I think it's what's cool and very fascinating to me about it is that it can help you deal in the present of your situation, what you're going through, having this perspective. But I think it also, on a much deeper level, it explains God in a way that I don't know that I've really conceptualized or heard other people conceptualize in quite the same way of understanding why he does what he does. Yeah. And so much, we live in the centric thing of, like, you know, even with the best perspective, it's almost like, okay, everything God does for us is some kind of medicine for us to make us better, to make us more like him. It's good for you. Go through it. It's good for you. Nothing is good for you. Because, you know, as we get into it. But it gives you a behind the veil look and an understanding that it's not even necessarily so much of what we're going to learn, but it's about what we get to expose.
Yeah.
And about him watching something, not because it's always a lesson, but because it's the performance in the sense, in the best possible way, of how and why he created us. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it. So the idea of nothing, you've been talking about God making something from nothing, but that he has to make nothing, and that's important. Why?
Yeah, well, if I can back up just a little bit, you said something that struck a chord in my mind, that, you know, we have such expectations for God to do things, and then a lot of times it does seem as though they're just lessons.
Yeah.
But God really wants to pull us away from constant lessons. It's like never, you know, ever learning yet never coming to the knowledge of the truth, the scriptures say. And what he's saying is, I want you to come to the knowledge of the truth, so everything doesn't have to be a lesson. It's a revealing of me in you. In other words, instead of you learning how to be like me, you're living like I'm in you and you're in me. So, and God is exposed. God wants to be exposed. He wants to be known. In the wilderness, he made himself known through signs and wonders. But when we look at things, it doesn't always connect because we're watching it instead of relating to it. Mm-hmm. And so God, you know, we think about it like this. God wants to expose who he is. And how would he do that? He decided to do it through human beings like you and I, with limitations. And human beings that experience sometimes a void, or, you know, we would say something to the effect that nothing's happening or nothing's going on. I think a lot of people can relate to that. There's nothing going on in my life. You know, there's nothing happening that I really believe God for, and we see nothing. And to encourage people, nothing is something, because God is everything and he made all things. So if nothing exists, and it does, God must have made it, or there would be no nothing. I don't know if that's proper grammar,
right, sure.
But nothing wouldn't exist. And so what is nothing with God? Well, with God, even nothing is something. And what that something is it's a place. You know, there's time and there's space, and within time there's the past, there's the present, and there's the future. But in any given time, we can experience nothing going on. Nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Or I prayed and nothing took place. Well, And that's not true, because the Word of God trumps what we see. The Word of God reigns beyond what we see. And God said if we ask, He would answer. So something happened when you see nothing, because God, who is everything, said it would. And His Word is yes, and in Him, amen. His Word will not return to us void, but it will accomplish what God said. So the point is to stay encouraged when you don't see anything happening, and it looks like nothing is taking place. But God creates limitations. He created us with limitations because He doesn't have any. But how would God reveal Himself to a creation? Let's consider for a moment that God is, He fills the heavens. But can any creature that God has made experience the fullness of God without an element of limitations? Because God is beyond limitation. But how would you experience that unless you know what a limitation is?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how do you miss something if it's always there? How do you know how to really, sometimes we just don't appreciate certain things until they're gone, or we think they're going away, and then you really have this gratification or this sense of thankfulness, and you know, you wished you were, had been thankful when it was right there, or you wished you'd put it to a greater purpose, or maybe you had treated someone better, or let them know how much you love and appreciate them, and you don't think about those things until you see it going away, you know, an expiration date on a thing. Or I mean, have you ever eaten all of something because, oh, this is going to expire, so we, you know, let's eat it before it expires? Well, I don't know if that's a good reason to eat something, but we have a tendency to do it. So those times have an effect on us, is what I'm saying. I talked about this Sunday. I can fall prey to the idea of it's the last one.
Yes.
So you better buy it if you want it because it's the last one. And then I'm saying, hey, it's the last one. Donna, we've got to get this from the last one. What do you need it is the question. So a sense of limitations and boundaries move us as human beings to think differently than we would when we just think of it's just there. And we tend to do the same thing with God. You know, He's here. He's here all the time, and He's always with me. But how is that impacting your life? When you're thinking about or praying for something that you want to take place and you say nothing is happening, well, God is in the middle of nothing because He created it as an instrument to reveal who He is in our lives. So with limitations, we know God is limitless, but we wouldn't appreciate that limitlessness of mm-hmm. God, that infinity of God, if we didn't know what limitations are. So as human beings, we are blessed with the knowledge and the understanding of a limitation.
Yeah.
So when God answers a prayer, which He always does, God does something miraculous in our lives, we know what going beyond ourselves is, and that is experiencing, when that happens, we are then experiencing more of the fullness of Christ within us. So basically, we're experiencing something beyond what we're able to produce. Or we come into the knowledge of something we couldn't just study and find out or figure out because we didn't even know we needed a certain thing. And God used the emptiness or the limitations or the nothingness to put something. So in God's perspective, nothing, what we would consider nothing, is simply a space for Him to do everything.
Yeah.
Everything that He wants to do in your life. So the best way to encourage yourself at that time, because that time when you feel nothing is happening is a very important, very crucial time in your life, because number one, it causes you to lean into God, to lean into Christ, to lean into your faith, and to see how strong you are. Kind of almost test yourself, prove yourself mm-hmm. in the Lord. And not like trying to test yourself, but it's kind of like, you know, you'll try to lift something, you know, your luggage, before you get on a plane, you'll sit there and you'll test it to make sure that they're not going to charge you extra because
right.
you went over the whatever the limit is. Let's say it's 50 pounds.
Does that happen to you a lot?
Yeah, it happens to me a lot. And what don't we like? I've just said, just charge me. I don't want to be on my hands and knees in the middle of the airport there at the desk taking a pair of socks and shoes out so it may drop it by a pound and a half, you know? So we have a tendency as human beings to test ourselves, but we should prove ourselves in the Lord, and God does that by giving us limitations. So we know we can experience some of God's limitlessness And how does he use it? By giving us limitations. And it does a number of things. Number one, it causes us to do what God created us to do, to share in his glory and his goodness. But we can't do that if we're filling that space with ours, with our glory and our what we think is our goodness, and thinking, God, I want you to do this. They experienced that in the wilderness. God, we've had bread now, which was a wonder, but they're not really appreciating that wonder because they've had it a while. So it's kind of like, oh, you need this to go away. Maybe you appreciate it down the road. And then they talk about when God fed us from heaven, when bread came down from heaven. Well, when it was gone, there was more appreciation than there was after they had had it for a minute. But that sense of appreciation is a part of life. That sense of hope is a part of life that we need. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our purpose in life and in Christ. And nothing is only the space for everything, because God creates nothing as a place to do something that you haven't seen, that you haven't experienced, so you have more of a relationship with God. Paul said this, give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding that I may know you better, that I may know you more. And so when we think of nothing from this point forward, when you think nothing is going on, think of it as, God, this is just your space.
Yeah.
Because even nothing with you is something, because you created nothing. Because there is no nothing in you. There's only everything. You're the fullness of all things. There's no void in you. There's no space in you. You're the fullness. And God says, but I'm going to create a space. I'm going to call it nothing. And out of nothing, I'm going to create everything. He did that when he created the universe. We see that through a variety of scriptures in the Word. In the beginning, God said, and God made everything out of nothing. And the Word says, out of nothing that was, he created everything that is. So nothing with God is everything. It's simply a space for God to do what you've been believing him to do, and beyond, exceeding what you know to ask or think. Mm-hmm. So embrace the idea that nothing's happening, with the understanding that nothing is God bringing everything that he has for you to pass, and he needs a space in which to do it.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's so cool. There's two things that makes me think about. First of all, the idea of the limitations makes me think of, as an artist and a writer and a musician and different things like that, it is the limitations of any particular art form that is what breeds the genius and the beauty in that art form.
Yeah.
You know, it's a song where you've chosen, now not all songs, you have to rhyme everything, but when you choose to rhyme, whether it's a poem, whether it's, and again, not all poems too, but when you, whatever structure you're gonna limit yourself to forces you to think differently than if you didn't have. Yeah. And we wish, like, oh, if I had no limitations, no boundaries, no this, we'd, like, I'd be able to do everything. And the reality, I think, is that you actually wouldn't. You'd probably do nothing.
Yeah.
That's when you would do nothing, because it's those things that force us into these boxes that, if you look at a box, it'd be boxes, but it's what bridles creativity. I would have never thought of putting this word with this word, you know, if I didn't make a limitation for myself that says this line here and this line here rhymes. So therefore, now I've got to think about the entire concept in a way I never would have had to.
Yeah.
You know?
What is the word, or what's the saying? Necessity is the mother
of invention.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
Is necessity? Well, I need something. Something's missing. There's a lack here. And in that creative sense, yeah, that's...
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing that is where I think takes it to that deeper level is you always talk about the idea that you'd rather, you know, let's make heaven restless. And heaven's looking to see what we're going to do. And scriptures say that. And what is man that you are so mindful of him? And that idea that it shifts the perspective that everything that we're doing has to be about us. And it makes it all a lot more about God.
Yeah.
And so that even in the nothing, sure, God might then use that nothing to propel me better along whatever course I'm looking for or whatever he's told me I'm for. But at some level, it's still not about that, because it's still about him. It's are you a pleasing experience to God?
Yeah.
And that nothing that we think is the worst thing for us, to him, could be the greatest thing. You know, I'd much rather see you dealing with nothing than when you finally get to deal with something. To God, that might not be as interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's not watching our faith in action in the same way that when we get the things that we want.
Well, out of nothing comes hope.
Yeah.
You know, I taught this, I shared this Sunday, that that hope is such an advantage to us. But when you think about hope, what gives way to hope? What births hope? Well, when it looks like nothing is taking the place of something you want to happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to have hope that whatever that nothing is, which again, think of nothing as just the platform where God's going to, you know, God's going to put on that kingdom show. He's going to demonstrate, you know, you're about to see the hand of God manifest in your life in a way. But if you're disgruntled and unhappy with nothing, you turn away from that stage that God's going to perform, and you start looking at just things. You know, I'm going to do this instead. I'm going to do that. Be still and know that I'm God is one of the most incredible things in the Word, because it's saying, watch, where are you? Because I'm everywhere. I'm all things at all times. I'm the fullness, and I want to share that with you is what God's saying. I'm the fullness, and for God so loved the world that he gave. Well, what was it that God loved so much about the world? That his will created it. Mm-hmm. By his Word, he created it. God loves his will. He loves his Word because it's his way is perfect. And so we see the platform that God creates for us and is about to, let's just say, put on a show for us and make us a part of that experience. He creates a space, and we call it nothing. But to God, because he's everything, nothing is something. Even nothing is something, because God is everything. And he says, just watch and see. It's what he told Moses. Watch and see what I'll do. And God said, I've done things in the wilderness I'd never done before. Why? Because there was a space for it to happen. You know, there had never been that space before in that way where you've got over 1 million people wandering around in a wilderness trying to sustain themselves, their family, their children, you know, and have a future with nothing really to go on other than just following this man with a stick in his hand. But their faith turned, and what God was saying is, I want to show you that in the middle of nothingness, I can do anything and everything because I am the fullness. But I want to share that. I want to expose that to you because I love you, because you're a creation of my purpose and my Word. And it really is what you started out with saying at this podcast, or in this podcast, is it really is about God being fully mindful of who God is. And it's so easy. And it's so hard to think about yourself and satisfying and fulfilling and am I doing this right and that right. If you just set your mind on Christ, what the Word says, I you know, you set your mind on him, I meditate on him, his will day and night, that's not hard. That's the easiest thing to do. Being mindful of ourselves, what we need, where we're going, what we need to do, what we need to, that is exhausting. And if you can do that, and people are pretty proficient at that, most everyone, it's much easier to be mindful of his ways. Because a lot of his ways you don't even know. But you're just mindful, God, you're present. It's Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a child. It's not that difficult. It's just hard. Just depend on me. Trust in me. Make everything about God. Make it about him. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because I dwell in your presence forever. Just make it about God. And when we do, that's the whole point of surrender. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, really follow me, you have to lay down your life, and that will be the most joyful thing you'll ever do when you have nothing but me. Mm-hmm. Because what you've just surrendered to is everything.
Wow.
I am the fullness of all things. So it takes that dread and that concern and worry of I don't have anything going on, nothing's happening, out of the equation, and you say, in nothing, God does everything. I need some nothing going on.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to believe in it to fill that space. I'm going to fill it with praise and trust and confidence that God is everything. And watch what God will do. The only way he's going to exceed your imagination is when you don't have one to satisfy yourself. Mm-hmm. That's God's space to show you exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think. And in short, God shows up big and strong in your life. And you say, wow, if you will, that's the superpower right there. Christ doing in me in nothing.
In nothing.
Nothing. How God is God with me. How great is God with me in that he did something so great out of nothing. And it takes the arrogance and the pride that destroys humanity out of the equation because they're saying, you know what, I started with nothing. I mean, you hear these people talk about it, successful people in the business world, and their biggest applaud to themselves is, I started out with nothing. I had nothing, you know.
Right.
I was worse than poor and nothing. I had nothing upon nothing.
That's right.
And that's, you know, that's kind of their monologue, you know, for their business. You can have nothing because what they're saying is, you know, you don't, even in the business world, if you will, even the natural world teaches you out of nothing, great things happen when you have confidence. And when you put that confidence in God, He not only satisfies what we hope that He will, but He exceeds that. And in that, what is the greatness about that is that God reveals to you, look how beyond your limitations I am in you.
Yeah.
That's a relationship with God Almighty, with a Father. And that's an experience you just can't compare to anything.
Yeah, you start thinking about like God that way. Because God says, I need to create nothing to make something. So how much in our own lives would we be going, you know what? Instead of resisting the nothing, actually asking for the nothing, you know, can we get that bold?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing, though, that it's fascinating, it switches over. For some reason, as I was thinking about the subject this morning, I started thinking about you've, and it seems like completely unrelated, but I think it really is. When you talk about something that God taught you in ministry, when preaching or prophesying, being up on stage, looking at people, was looking not at their faces, but in their spirits.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of reasons, whether they might seem antagonistic or you could look at them and see like nothing's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that as we look at other people, even in the world, so many people that we discount, you know, about our fellow people around us, that we say, you either you have nothing for me, or you've done nothing with yourself, you're nothing, you have no worth. You know, well, these are all the same people that Jesus decided to come die for, because he didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
He saw something in every single person, no matter what their current version of looking like nothing is.
Yeah.
And God's seen that purpose inside of every single one of his creations. And if we'd think that way, how much more could we help other people get there?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there has to be a willingness in an individual to go there. But even if they're not willing, you can still see the will of God in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that you can make them get it.
No.
It doesn't mean that you can just preach them into it, but you can be an example for it.
Yeah.
And that is discerning too. If you're an example, you know, if you're like, do I walk in this path with this person, or do I move on? Well, be the living light and example. And if they can't keep up, you just keep moving.
Yeah.
And by, you know, the fact of, or the act of self-elimination, you just keep moving. And pretty soon, whatever that is in your life, it isn't a for you, just kind of fades into to the background, and you keep moving forward. Not to discount that individual, but for you to find the direction of the Lord. Just stay on the course, but see the good, so you're not, because it's almost like you stop and argue with this person and trying to convince them. I had a dream about that, trying to convince someone. And I mean, I'm thinking, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, trying to convince, and they just were cold and dead and just couldn't get anywhere. And all of a sudden in this dream, a revelation came to me, and I just said, this is not the will of God. And these two persons just kind of screamed in the dream and disappeared, and I woke up. And God's saying, it's not about fighting to get it there. It's about you knowing what is from me and what is not, and what is for you and what is not. How do you do that? You continue to move on even if you don't see anything, and you see the word of God. Caleb looks over at the Canaanites and goes, I mean, yeah, he saw everything everybody else saw. They're giants, and there's a lot of them, and they're skilled, and they're posted all over. I mean, they have secured the borders. You know, I mean, there's no one coming in there and overcoming them. And they have heard of the Israelites. But when they heard of the God of the Israelites, their hearts melted and they became weak-kneed and they fell prey to the will of the Father. And why? Because someone like Caleb had a spirit to believe that no matter what, how nothing we may appear in our own eyes.
Yeah. Or that the situation is nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. God is everything. So he says, it doesn't matter. Everything is with us. So right here, right now, today, you know, we're gonna walk in and see the blessing and the glory of God. So it really is about our perception of who we are in Christ and who Christ in us is. And it's that Christ in you is such a big deal.
Yeah.
To say, you know, I know people you've heard him say, I've heard him say forever, I know my rights in Christ. I know, and it's kind of almost this theological religious statement without really having the meat,
yeah,
any integrity in the sense of you really understand what you're saying. Because if you're in him, then it's no longer you that's living. So that struggle kind of fades into the background. And if it's Christ in you, it means he's going to do it through you, which means I don't have to sit here and wait. So in the middle of nothing, there can't really be a nothing in my life the way I perceive it.
Yeah.
There may be the invisible aspect, because I can't see it with my natural eye, but there's an entire world, an entire nature of faith working on the inside of me, God's kingdom that wants to exceed my little kingdom of trinkets and things that God would just destroy and move out of the way to make space for something that's real, something that's eternal, like peace and love and joy and confidence and a sense of well-being and soundness of mind, spirit, and body. God puts all of that in our nothingness, which means literally, I can't do what I want to do. So then that gives way to God. What do you want?
Yeah.
Here's a space to do it in. I surrender. I love the scripture. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Mm-hmm. Renew a right spirit in me. Take everything out that is not you, and I'll be empty. I'll be nothing and be everything. John the Baptist said, I must become nothing, that he can become everything. And I must decrease so he will increase. It's throughout the word, but people can get caught up because they don't see anything happening. Turn that around and say, in the middle of nothing, because God is everything, nothing can't really exist. And if it does, it's because God created it, because only God could make nothing, because he's everything. And we make a lot of mess. We make a lot of stuff when we try to do it. And there's not enough nothing for God to do something until he cleans it all away. So in this coming year, and I've seen prophetically over the next 3 years, God's going to do a great purging. And to some people, it's going to be a very torrent time, a very disturbing time to some people who have not set their heart and their mind to, God, fill this nothing with your will and your purpose and your presence. Mm-hmm. Because people have filled that void space with a lot of their
things,
agendas and their ideas. God's going to purge over the next 3 years. Our nations. So a lot of things are going to happen that may look like, wow, how upside down are things? But God is really turning upside down, right side up. And it may feel upside down until you become reoriented to what right side up is supposed to look like, feel like, and be. And it's just because God has said it and some people have believed it. And God has said, will you believe? God has prophetically spoken. He's allowed us to prophesy for probably 4 years of this season and time. It's a purging time. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. It means God's making space. He's cleaning. He's clearing so he can do, he can fulfill what he said he would do. And so it's an amazing season. So if you have the understanding that God doesn't need anything that I want him to do in order to satisfy me beyond what I know to ask or think, then you become confident instead of discouraged when what you want to see isn't happening and what you're looking for is your everything and what you don't see is your nothing. God says, my nothing is everything because I'm everything. You can never have enough nothing or too much nothing. As a matter of fact, the less you have sometimes of your own will, your own desires, the more I'll show you mine that will exceed yours, it will overcome yours. And that's where worship comes from and praise, when we stand in awe of what God did. Because you may say, man, he did, then we become a testimony of the word. He did exceeding abundantly beyond all I knew to ask or think. And he did it through the faith that works in me. I got to be a part of this. That's what God wants. How does that feel, Steve? I didn't just do it to you or do it for you. I did it through you. I in you and you in me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Before a vine bears fruit, there's nothing there.
Wow. Well, and it sounds like it takes you back to kind of a theme that we've been talking about the last several podcasts of the sessions, and we've been talking about time, and we've been talking about different ideas. But really what it does, it brings everything back to the importance of the now in Christ.
Right here, right now.
That every event holds the potential for purpose of destiny, even if it doesn't seem like it does, even if it doesn't seem like a moment. And even I once got into a debate with a mutual friend of ours, who I'll not name, good friend, about and no, it's not the one main friend of ours, a different friend for those of you. But anyways, and it was about the idea of God testing us. And at the end of the day, I don't know if what I'm about to say falls theologically correct or not, but I believe it to be true. And that is the idea, even though there's the term test is in the Bible and stuff like that. But this person was encouraging people, when you're in the midst of a test, lean in and take the test. And my standpoint was like, you know what? What if God doesn't test us? Because the mindset of taking a test means this moment isn't about this moment. This moment is about getting me to another moment.
Yeah.
And in getting away from the now to get to the next moment means I'm losing the fullness of what God wants me to know. So instead of looking at this as a test to see if I get to advance, look at it as, no, my whole life comes down to right now.
Yeah, that's so...
Everything
so
is now in Him. Yeah. And it's not that nothing is going on. If it is, it doesn't matter whether there's something or nothing, because this moment is the fullness. We don't know that we get another moment anyways, right?
Yeah.
So if God is the now and I'm in the now, wherever I am right now, that's the fullness.
That's why I said, consider today and only today. Don't look for tomorrow. The word test is oftentimes prove.
Mm, yes.
And I like that.
Because
what I see is God is proving that it's here now.
It's in you. You already have all things pertaining to Him. Here's your chance to show it.
Instead of a distant, this test today is for a distant outcome tomorrow. God's proving you when? Today.
Yeah.
Right now. It's taking on this understanding of the Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. That's why I say I am an Emmanuelist. I don't really go with or believe in the idea that it is a process. And I understand process.
Sure.
I know what that means. And we've talked about this because process puts everything off. And we never know how far off that is. And that's discouraging. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Let's do the desire. Let's see the desire right here and right now. Well, how do we do that? By saying God is doing something right now. And it is so perfect. There is no void. There's no lack in what I need, because God's going to show me something I'm not even aware of right now. And me knowing it is a revelation of it right now.
Yeah.
That I can say that and believe that right now, there's your proof. It's happening. That I'm at peace, as Paul said, whatever state I find myself in, I make myself content. How did he do that? You're with me always. You never leave or forsake me, and you're the fullness of everything. So what could I possibly be lacking right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do beyond what I know to ask or think, then I can't look at it and see it, but you're going to reveal it through me, and you're doing it right now by me knowing that's who you are. And again, it's that sense of nothingness is just really a platform for God to prove His everything through us. And I say it over and over and over. He's so God. He's so love. God is love, and they that dwell in love dwell in God, because that's who He is. What does love want? It wants to share what? All the good that it has. And God is love, and He wants to share all that He has with us, not just do it to us, because then that's not an intimate experience. That's not sharing. That's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's watching something and going, that was cool, but you're not a part of it. But when you become, you know, if you sit there and watch a movie, that's cool. But if they call you up and say, here's a script, you're going to be in the movie, you're a part of this whole thing. It's a whole different dimension.
Yeah.
That's a totally different world. Now, I am making the film. I am a part of the program, the show. It's part of me. This is reality now. Now, what looked like a fantasy has become a reality in regards to you're a part of it.
Yeah.
So even fantasy turns into a reality in a certain aspect.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing with God. What seems like a fantasy becomes a reality. Oh, man, I would love to be like this. I wish I were more like God. I wish I were more like Christ. God says, so do I. And my will is going to overcome your sense of uncertainty and overcome your limitations so you know what it is to be like me. Not be me, but to be like me. You know what it is to have my fullness dwell in you. And that's what the Word says, that the church is supposed to dwell in the fullness of God. And through that fullness, God will reveal all that He is, but He is endless. So every time He reveals all that He is, there's more. There's always more because it never ends. God, so God, it just brings you to worship and praise where you just say, God, you're so great. And all that you are and all that you want us to be, you're calling us to be a part of. And so it's out of nothing that God does everything. So don't fear having nothing, because yeah, nothing is the platform God wants to do everything. You're right where you need to be, knowing what you need to know. What is that? God's everything with me in my nothing. So my nothing is going to become something pretty amazing if I just stay the course. Yeah.
Wow.
And God's purging of this generation is part of that. Out of nothing, God's going to do incredible, incredible things. And this 3-year purging that I've seen is for a setup of another chain of events that are going to be greater and greater and greater. It's not that it's better than the first. It's just that it's more of the revelation of who Christ is. Mm-hmm. As Paul said, I seek and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That echoes in my mind, that I may know you better and more. Well, it's not necessarily that what he knew before was any better than he's about to know.
Sure.
But each time it happens, because God is a new experience every day, it feels like better and more. It feels like better and more. And it's just the eternal nature of God.
Glory to glory to glory can't just mean the same glory.
No.
Because that doesn't sound what would be the point of that. Or I think of the idea of Paul talking about from milk to meat. You know, that's like, it's not, God's not limited to just those two stages.
No.
You know, and so, but it doesn't make the milk any less valuable. It doesn't make the meat stage. And he's just got more and more, wants to take us deeper and deeper in himself.
Yeah, God wants people to stay encouraged. I want people to stay encouraged, because I know that steadfastness is really the key to watching God reveal through us. And when he does, it touches other people. I mean, people are moved by the success and the confidence of someone just inside, whether they have anything exterior to vouch for them or not. But when people see a peace and a satisfaction and a confidence in someone, that's what draws. People are drawn to strength.
Yeah.
And what they're most drawn to is the strength of an individual, because that means that as long as you're here and you're confident in who Christ in you is, you can never be without. You know, people are concerned about losing this and losing that, but if you're complete in yourself and who Christ in you is, what can be taken from you?
Yeah.
And confidence is in that. Security is in that. And then God, like he said, if you'll seek my kingdom, he said, everything else will come. Everything you have need of, and more than you even would have asked, will overwhelm you. But I need you to be the host of my spirit, my presence, my wonder, so I can manifest that through you. That's why I made you with limitations. God made us with limitations on purpose. It's a perfect design, because now we not only get to experience God by looking at him, we get to experience him beyond limitation. But wait a minute, God doesn't have limitations, but we do. So God created limitations. So we could experience him beyond limitations. God's he's so God. And I'm so thankful for his way. My God, his way is perfect.
His way is perfect. And I'm so excited to see what he does. And I got to say, I've certainly lived through many seasons where I felt like there was nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
And we all have. Everybody has. And it's not, I think, and again, that's obviously, that's the design of God.
Yeah.
And I just thank you for your word and your obedience to hearing and speaking what God has to say, because it's such an encouragement. And hopefully it's an encouragement to all you out there. And I look forward to this coming season of time and everything that God's up to. And again, as we dive into a new year, I just thankful for everybody who supports this ministry, who listens, and just we just pray that God would do wonders.
Amen. And Amen. He will, because this is the greatest season of our lives.
Amen.
God bless. Until next time. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.